Welcome to Australia's number one and only motocross radio show, MX Weekly. Now your host, Nikki Shahal.
G'day everyone, Nikki Shahal back for another edition of MX Weekly. It's Tuesday night and that is MX Weekly night here in Perth, right around Australia and via the internet as well. So welcome to the show. If you've just joined us, welcome. It's good to have your company. We'd love to hear your feedback. So you can drop us an email, admin, that's admin, at perthmx.com, and we'll certainly get back to you with your feedback. Whether it be positive, negative, or indifferent, we don't care. As long as you're enjoying the show and have got some positive influence and want some things done, then we'll certainly endeavour to get those happening for you. You can also interact with us via perthmx.com, where you can check out all the very latest news as it happens, when it happens. And more importantly, check out our perthmx.com Facebook page. That thing is just going absolutely ballistic. It is now up to, as I check at the time of us going to air, here in Perth on a Tuesday evening, as I just wait for the internet to very quickly hurry up, 144,506,000. That is thousand. If I had a dollar for every one of those little likes on the Facebook page, we would not be sitting here. We'll be sipping champagne in the Maldives. I digress. Welcome to MX Weekly, another rip-snorting and crackerjack edition of the show. We talk to the KTM, and it is wall-to-wall KTM. You've got to look at the KTM challenges that have been happening in not only here in Australia, but right around the world. KTM is certainly the brand for championships. Last week, we spoke to Dean Porter, who's on a KTM this year, and Jessica Moore as well, another champion on a KTM. We'll speak to two further champions in the MX1, which is the Pro Open class. That will be Lewis Kelvin. And the MX2 class, which is the Pro Lights, that will be Josh Adams. They'll be having a chat to us about their season ahead and also plans for an attack of the MX Nationals as well. Of course, last week we spoke to Jaden Rikers, who is just about now getting ready to pack up his bag and head over to the first round of the MX Nationals. We saw during the week that Carl Webster, the Cully's Yamaha rider, is set on his trek over some 3,200 kilometres to go from Perth over to Broadford in Victoria for the first round of the MX Nationals with Brian Cull at the wheel of the Cully's Yamaha truck. So we wish them well, and we'll bring you all the action next week, all the results from what's happened at the first round of the MX Nationals, which of course kicks off this Sunday at Broadford in Victoria. So hopefully they've had plenty of rain to be able to put some water on that track and dampen it down for some fantastic racing. We kick off tonight's show with, we'll get right into it, we'll have a chat to Lewis Kelvin. We've also got plenty of action from what happened in the MotoGP, and as I said, wall-to-wall KTM, we have a chat to those KTM riders, and also we have a look at WAMX, that kicks off in 2 weeks' time, and we also, well, we'll find out what's happening this weekend where you can race anywhere here in Western Australia. If you want to be part of that with what's on, just drop us an email, admin@perthmx.com.
This is Luke Smith from insuremyride.com.au. You're listening to MX Week.
We kick off this week's show with MotoGP, and you'd have to be, I don't know where you were if you didn't know this. Jack Miller, the Australian for the Red Bull KTM AJO team, took a brilliant first win of his career in the first race of the year at the Commercial Bank Grand Prix of Qatar with Alex Marquez second and Efren Vaquez in third. Miller rode brilliantly with his new team, starting third on the grid and running at the front with Marquez from the start, as pole man Alex Rins made a poor start and dropped back to 12th. Miller and Marquez then battled for the lead, but a late mistake from Marquez let the Aussie through on the last lap for his first victory and first Grand Prix podium. Behind the leading pair, Vaquez crossed the finishing line just 0.047 seconds off second place to complete the podium and step onto the rostrum for the first time since 2011. Miguel Oliveira was the best of the seven Mahindra-equipped riders in the race, missing the podium by just 0.15 of a second in fourth. Rins incredibly got back up towards the top three, having been stranded way back down the field on the first lap, and he too was just a fraction behind Oliveira in fifth. Jacob Kornfeld was also close to the front-running group, eventually placing himself sixth, whilst a 1.5-second gap behind him, the experienced Alexis Masbul came home in seventh. Isaac Vinales and Nicolò Anello on the junior team Goan Fun, and Francesco Bagnara on the Sky Racing team VR46 completed the top 10. Those results, fantastic. Jack Miller, the Australian on the KTM, taking the win in Moto 3 in Qatar. In the Moto 2, well, that was almost as exciting. It was a strong ride from Rabat, who earned the Qatar a victory despite a difficult first lap for the pole man Estev Rabat. He produced an otherwise excellent ride in Qatar to win on the last corner. It was great racing for, if you didn't have a chance to look at it, jump onto YouTube and you see some of the racing. Rabat's teammate Michaela Caiolo was third in the race, though second place finisher Takayuki Nakajima was later disqualified for the use of a non-regulation air filter. Naughty, naughty. Rabat aims to win the title this year after emerging as a Moto2 race winner last season, and he looked threatening throughout the Qatar weekend, ultimately beating Naganapi to the line by 0.04 of a second after they battled for the lead for several laps. Rabat ran wide on the first lap and dropped to fifth, but he had too much for his closest rival over the 20-lap contest, coming back to take the win. So good news there. Well, we were speaking of Marquez. It was world champion Marc Marquez who started his MotoGP title defence with a victory after beating Valentino Rossi in a close battle, with Danny Pedrosa coming home third. The Repsol Honda 21-year-old rider produced a gritty performance to take maximum points despite breaking his leg in the pre-season and missing the last two MotoGP tests. In further drama, movie star Yamaha MotoGP's Jorge Lorenzo crashed out of the race lead at turn 15 on the first lap, meaning his season starts with a DNF after he had struggled with grip issues throughout the weekend. After eight laps, the race was also over for Stefan Bradl, who had led the contest for several circulations of the track. Indeed, both Marquez and Rossi then went on to have a great fight, which went down to the last lap and saw the Spaniard outpace the Italian by 0.25 of a second, with Pedrosa 3 seconds back to complete the podium. It was an excellent ride for Alex Espargaró, who took him to fourth on his debut for the NGM Ford Racing in their Open Yamaha. Espargaró cashed in on the crashes of Bautista and Brad Smith as they fell out of the podium hunt. And over to the Supercross now. It was all happening. They said he might have been finished, but I've got to tell you, Bubba is back. That's right. Even though Ryan Villopoto salvages valuable points as the Monster Energy Supercross, they head towards St. Louis' Edward Jones Dome this Saturday night, and Martin Davros moves into the 250 Supercross class points lead. It heads to the St. Louis Dome this Saturday night. As I said, Villopoto, the three-time defending champion, carries a 25-point advantage over Red Bull KTM's Ryan Dungey. And for the first time in the Eastern Regional 250 Supercross Class Championship, it's Monster Energy Kawasaki's Martin Davlos who rides into St. Louis with a 4-point lead over his teammate Adam Santarulo, who has 3 race wins this season. Last Saturday night, in front of over 48,000 fans inside the Rogers Centre, James Stewart raced to his 4th 450 Supercross class victory of the season with a come-from-behind effort that puts him in sole possession of second place on the all-time wins list of 49. In the 6th race of the Eastern Regional 250 Class Championship, Bogle took advantage of a strong start to capture his first career main event win. To start the 20-lap 450 class main event, Ken Roczen won the Hole Shot Award with Villopoto and Justin Barcia in tow. Roczen and Barcia took over the top 2 spots and engaged in a battle for the lead before Barcia made the pass stick on lap 3. Stewart began the main event with a mid-pack start and crossed the line in 9th on the opening lap. He then immediately began making a climb through the field on a steady march to the front of the pack. Barcia opened a comfortable margin on Roczen, who started to lose some time to his teammate Dungey, who was back in third, as well as Stewart, who moved into fourth place on the 7th lap. James Stewart slipped by Dungey for third on the 11th lap and then made the pass on Roczen 1 lap later. Stewart then closed the deficit on Barcia and pressured him for a lap before making the winning pass on lap 14. That same lap, incidentally, Dungey passed Roczen for third place. Stewart pulled away in the closing laps to post back-to-back victories and became the winningest rider in the championship this season. Justin Barcia grabbed a season-best result for second, holding off a hard-charging Dungey in third. Now, Stewart's 49 career wins breaks a tie with five-time Monster Energy Supercross champion Ricky Carmichael on the all-time list. Stewart now sits 23 wins behind the record of 72 held by seven-time Monster Energy Supercross champion Jeremy McGrath. That was probably one of the best races ever. I'm speechless, said Stewart. To pass Ricky Carmichael and move into second on the all-time win list is special. They haven't even set it in yet. The fans kept me motivated tonight. I heard them through every pass. It was great. Now, current 450 Supercross class points leader Villopoto endured his toughest day of the season en route to a sixth-place finish. Villopoto didn't log a single lap of afternoon practice after his team reported he was suffering from food poisoning. A top 10 ranking in the championship guaranteed Villopoto a provisional for the night show, and he was able to transfer into the main event through the semi. After starting second in the main, Villopoto dropped to as far back as eighth, but made a late charge to move into sixth and lose minimal ground in the championship. Villopoto lost just 5 points to Dungey in the class standings, currently holding a 25-point lead with 5 races remaining in the championship. Justin Bogle began the 15-lap Eastern Regional 250 class main event by racing to the whole shot, edging out Monster Energy Pro Circuit's Canturulo. Bogle set a torrid pace out front in the opening laps while Canturulo attempted to keep pace. So with only a handful of races to go in the AMA Supercross, it's going to be a very interesting later stage of this season to see how it all pans out, especially too when you have a look at the championship standings, especially in the 450 class, Villopoto, Dungey, Stewart, Roxon and Brayton, then back to Barsha, Andrew Short, Brock Ticker, Will Hahn. Chad Reed still sits in 10th position in the championship class standings despite not racing in the season, so that's a obviously out through injury. Dean Wilson, he picked up 8th position, of course. He is on board the vacated 2-2 Motorsports entry of Chad Reed, and they caught up with Dean Wilson after the race to see how he was going and how he felt that the transition was going from 250 over to 450, and would he make the transition back into the lights class.
Team 2-2, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Just been a pretty big learning experience for me, you know. Clearly we can see that I can do the 15 laps, but the 20 is a little bit of a struggle, but That's all I get paid for is 15 laps, yeah. But I'm working on the 20. This is my last race here at Toronto on the 450, then I'll get a weekend off and then back to Houston. So, I had a really good week, and I'm just hoping to, I don't know, I'd love to be on the box, but top five. We'll start at top five, and we'll see if we can make that happen.
Okay, a lot of speculation about those last 5 laps and what's been happening to you. I keep hearing the word arm pump thrown around. This week, we know you've been thinking about it, working on it. What do you guys identify as maybe the cause?
I'm not sure. I mean, sometimes you just don't breathe, but I've had a few issues before with arm pump, and it's just like once you get it, you really can't get rid of it during the race. So that's the only tricky part, you know, because it's like you try and keep racing and it's just hard to hang on. So yeah, you're just, you got to work on some things during the week, and I think we did, and we'll see if it works this weekend.
Okay, I know when you started this ride, you talked about going out, having fun, finishing it, making the main. Now I hear you talking about top fives. It's interesting how quick everything changed when all of a sudden you were going fast.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's like, you know, the beginning, it's just I had no expectations, and I just wanted to do my best. And now I kind of see where I can be, and I know I'm capable of a top three finish. And so that's what you want, you know. And that's kind of like always been my problem a little bit, is that I put expectation on myself all the time because I just want to do the best I can, and I really have no reason to, you know. I just need to go out there and do my best and not worry about it. So we'll just have fun and see how it goes.
What's your dad Andy been telling you?
Oh, Andy? I don't know. He's not a happy camper when I don't do well. But he's been in California and I've been in Florida, so it's all good.
Yeah, I sat next to him back at Anaheim 3, and he was in there kind of living and dying with every last little bit.
Yeah, definitely. He was happy at Anaheim 3, but just need to have fun this weekend, and you know, my starts have been really good, so I'm happy on that. You know, I've always struggled with my starts, and I think I found a good technique now, so I'm pretty happy with that, and hopefully I can get some good starts and run up front.
Do you think there's something you can carry back to the 250s after this weekend?
Yeah, I think my starts, you know, because like I said, I've kind of learned a good technique, and I'm hoping that it will work for my 250, and I know if I can get solid good starts in my 250, I'll be good.
Supercross Live on supercrossonline.com here at the podium, brought to you by AMSOIL. Well, James Stewart, number 48, and I talked to your dad. He's 48 years old. I know Pam was happy with number 48.
Pam?
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right, I knew you had that smile, man. I knew it would take you for a minute to get it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure Pam was happy. But, no, it definitely feels good to, you know, last few weeks, you know, we've just been having some weird luck. And, you know, riding good, just unfortunately, you know, just had some, you know, first corner, you know, and Atlanta first lap and then the pipe incident last week. But, you know, whether you're winning or getting 20, if you put the same work in there. So, you know, my guys, they bust their tail all day and all week, and it just kind of feels good to get a win. It always helps the motivation and keep things rolling, and, you know, looking forward to the rest of the season.
You talk about a roller coaster ride. I mean, all these guys here behind you, I mean, they've been behind you 110% the whole year, knowing you can do this and to achieve that goal, 48 wins, another win on the season for you. And you know what? You're not out of this championship. I mean, I heard an interview earlier with Paul Lindsay he did with you. He said, oh, I'm kind of out, but you're not out of this thing. Anything can happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just want to win. You know, I think if I just start there, you know, I think the guys see, you know, it's not like I've been riding bad the last few weeks. You know, I've just been having some weird luck. So, you know, as long as I'm giving 100%, these guys are too, you know, the results are the results. And, you know, just some strange things. But, you know, it shows like when we're up front and, you know, we don't have any weird things happen or go down, we can win races. So tonight was slippery. You know, we kind of struggled all day. And you know, we made the last change for the main event. It's the right change. And, you know, when it's the right change, we win races. So it was nice.
I'm going to say this win is for the team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we always, you know, it's like you said, up and down. And you know, we have some strange things. And nobody, you know, flip-flops. So, you know, when we win together. We lose together. So it was good. I almost threw it away. I stalled it out there. And, you know, my little 146-pound butt, you know, was trying to get this thing to seat balance, seat bump it, whatever I said. It was good, so I'm happy.
Hi, this is Josh Adams, and you're listening to MX Weekly.
Race into Cully's Yamaha in Balcatta for all your motorcycle needs. Road bikes, dirt bikes, ATV and kids bikes. Come see the new WR450F. A legend reborn. Performance, reliability, and versatility. We have a huge selection of accessories and riding gear, like helmets, jackets, boots, kids' wear and ladies' wear. A state-of-the-art service department ensuring your bike is in the best hands. Easy finance available. All this under one roof at 511 Wanneroo Road, Balcatta.
Hi, I'm Bob Pierce from Major Motors, the truck specialist of Forestfield and O'Connor. Isuzu trucks continue to be the number one selling truck in Australia because they give you reliability and value for money. With over 100 models in the Isuzu truck range, there's a truck to suit most needs. Our environment-friendly Euro 4 engines mean cleaner, quieter running, and with stacks of safety features, Isuzu has a truck for you. Call us now at Forestfield or O'Connor, or visit our website at majormotors.com.au.
We believe in power. It's what it takes to outdo the world's toughest jobs. We believe in durability. It's what it takes to build machines that last. And above all else, we believe in strength. Because strength dictates everything we do. And it's fueled by the muscle power of an entire heavy industry. From bullet trains to bridges, from front loaders to cargo ships, strength is at our core, and it flows through our veins with every bolt, stitch, and weld. We call it Kawasaki Strong, because strong by itself doesn't cut it. Every brute force, Terex, and mule, backed by heavy industry capability, ingenuity, innovation, and strength. Kawasaki Strong.
Welcome back to MX Weekly. You're listening to the show live through PerthMX.com, also through SoundCloud as well. Well, last night at the AGM of Motorcycling Western Australia, I got to say, pretty happy that she was elected unopposed to the position of director on the board of Motorcycling West Australia. And for 2 years, that is that term, we congratulate Decima Johns, certainly one of the hard-working officials and volunteers from the Coastal Motorcycle Club. Does a lot behind the scenes with Willie Thompson through Dirt High Promotions as well. So a round of applause for Decima, and certainly a worthy, not a contender, we'll say. And certainly she'll bring a lot to the role, and we certainly look forward to that. Don't forget to Lee Hogan's Building Champions program. You've got to check out their website, leehoganracing.com.au. They've got plenty of schools coming up all over Australia, and of course they'll be coming to Western Australia as well. Now, speaking of the AGM that happened at Motorcycling Western Australia, there's info that's been posted on a Facebook page called WA Women's Motocross from Shelley Connor. It's info regarding entries direct from last night's AGM. It reads that at the moment there are 5 girls entered for the whole series of WAMX and only 1 extra entered for Coastal's round. So only 6 girls entered to ride round 1 at this stage. We need 12 to constitute a class. Despite entries closing tomorrow, Angie Bascom has said that should any girls wish to enter, she will waive the late entry fee if she gets an email or phone call direct. I won't publish her phone number, but you can email her racesecretary@wamx.com.au, so contact her should you wish to enter after tomorrow. Most importantly, we made a fuss last year about the disparity between girls and guys racing. As requested, we have more rounds, which means entries are going to cost more. It's pretty embarrassing we've made a deal at the expense of a few people's time and effort to equal things out. WAMX have given us what we wanted and now have so few girls willing to compete. I know everyone's in mixed circumstances and finances and time is a strain, but it would be awesome to see a class of girls on the line at Coastals. Remember, Angie Bascom will waiver your late fee if you give her a phone call. Cheers, girls. Any issues, contact me. Yet again, we are struggling for numbers in women's motocross here in WA. I don't know what it is, but you girls have got to get off your backsides. I know that some people are saving to go overseas and people have to work. That's fine. That's not an issue with that at all. What I've got an issue with is when people sit down and volunteer their time to give you more races because you whinge and complain that you weren't getting enough races, and people who stood up for you guys, basically stood up for you girls, I should say, and giving you extra races and extra classes, and there's just no interest whatsoever. So what it will mean this, girls, if you do not have the minimum entries required to constitute a class, which is 12, that class will be scrapped, and they'll probably put on another class of Clubman Lights. So if you want to race with Clubman Lights, Club and Carnage, I wish you all the very best of luck because you will certainly need it, and we hope we don't see the end of women's motocross here in Western Australia, because I think that will be an absolute travesty, and you girls really need to have a good, hard, long look at yourself. Get yourself some sponsors, get yourself together, and work out what you're going to do. Speaking of WAMX, round 1 of the Senior Smarter Than Smoking MX Championships will be on April the 6th at Coastal Park Motorcycle Club. As we know, in less than 2 weeks, entries close tomorrow. That is the 26th of March they close. So make sure you get your entries in for the seniors. For WAMX Junior, junior riders must enter each round as there are no series entries for WAMX Junior. Entries for the first round close on the 6th of April. Late entries will be accepted up to the 13th of April. First in, best dressed. And, of course, that first round will be at Kalgoorlie on Saturday the 19th of April, my brother's birthday. So make sure that you check out your WAMX, whether you're senior or junior, and make sure you get those entries in. Just remember, the more backsides they get on seats, the more entries, and they'll certainly look at putting on more races. But if it's not supported, then it simply won't happen, and someone else will get more races. That's my gripe. I've got off my high horse now. Speaking of junior races, last year the Australian Junior Motocross Championship was held at Horsham in Victoria. This year it heads to Appin in New South Wales. MXTV caught up with the team at the Horsham round of the Australian Junior Motocross Championship last year. There was the likes of Toby Price, Jeff Leask was there, and a host of others. This audio grab comes courtesy of our friends at MXTV.
Yeah, here at Horsham for the Australian Junior Motocross Nationals, just with the KDM guys helping out where I can, and it's just good to come down and watch the talent that's coming through out of the junior ranks these days. It's pretty crazy. I've been watching a few guys out there. There's a lot of names you can point some fingers at, and they're going fast.
It's good to keep an eye on the talent, see where the sport's coming from. You know, this is where it all starts. This weekend, you see the Wade Carters, you see the Nato Crawfords, the Jed Beatons. There's a lot of talent, and the junior kids of today are probably a lot more committed to it than what they were 15 years ago.
Turned on the great weather for the finals, and every race has been a good race so far, so it's been really entertaining to watch the great young juniors riding and some good Australian champions coming out of it too.
I love coming to the juniors every year. I love it. When I come back here, it's just old memories, you know. I even feel the nerves, and I sense the pressure that the young guys have, you know, the tension when they go up on the start line, and kind of take it all in, feel it all. It's a very good experience. I love walking around and talking to a lot of the competitors, and they're totally wrapped with it. It's a big week. It's a really big undertaking to put an event like this on, and the club here has just done an amazing job, you know, and the races have flowed smoothly, and everyone's had a great time.
With the sun shining today, it's made for perfect track conditions. I look around the pits and I'm just seeing smiles from people. It's fantastic. All the infrastructure and everything that Kenny and his team have done, it's just fantastic. And in my opinion, we have raised the bar for junior motocross titles in this country.
We've just come over just for the pure experience of it, and it's been awesome. I'm really rapt that we did come for the experience, so we've had a really good time.
I had heaps of fun. It was the first ever year doing this. Missed out for like, I feel it was 9 points, but I'm going to regroup for next year at Appin.
It's just great to have these guys here. I've been doing some interviews with them and they've been sort of quite freely giving tips to all the junior riders out here to help them through the week. And
helping the kids is something that is sort of natural for, I guess, most pro racers. I feel honoured to pass on the knowledge that I've learned over the years racing and help these young kids develop quicker and hopefully a bit better than what we grew up with.
Well, this is their world. All the young kids, they aspire to the great heights, and this is it for those. And the whole year leads to this last month of the year.
It's a showcase of Australian junior motocross talent that's essential to keep producing high quality riders. I mean, you look at the current batch of Todd Waters and Dean Ferris and Kirk Gibbs, they're all guys who have won titles, who have gone on to win professional championships now.
The kids that I've seen here this week, the front guys are definitely are going really fast. They're putting everything into it. You can see their bikes look good, their gear looks good, they look professional, the mums and dads look professional with all their pit gear on. You just look at the pits with all the tents. Everyone's going to bigger levels to make it better. I think that the kids coming through are definitely riding faster. We've just got to put that into play when they go pro and get to the next level. That way, I think once we work on that and get them a little bit, you know, from junior to senior, that little bit of a closer level, I think we'll bring a lot more people through.
Chelsea Blakers, and you're listening to MX Weekly.
There are plenty of ways to get your business known on MX Weekly and Perth MX with advertising. Did you know that internet is poised to overtake newspapers as the second largest advertising medium by revenue behind television? That's according to a PricewaterhouseCoopers report. The online ad business is set to expand to $34.4 billion in 2014, up from $24 billion in 2009. That's according to PricewaterhouseCoopers Global Entertainment and Media Outlook for 2010 to 2014. Newspapers, meanwhile, continue to suffer from a decline in advertising revenue. According to numbers released by the Newspaper Association earlier in 2013, print advertising revenue dropped 28.6% in 2009. Now, PerthMX.com and MX Weekly continue to deliver unique high-caliber motorcycle and motocross news, attracting a key core audience with specific purchasing needs. Within a very short time frame, both have been achieved. In effect, this is a unique way for motorcycling and related industries to advertise in a very cost-effective way to a target audience, whether it's parts, apparel, fuel and oils, or even business cards and vehicle body wraps. PerthMX.com and MX Weekly hits the mark. There are four levels of advertising, including limited contra deal arrangements on PerthMX.com, and for PerthMX and MX Weekly, there are also standard 30-second ad slots plus section naming rights also are available. For more information on advertising here on MX Weekly and on the website PerthMX.com, please give myself a call on 042-752-8467 or drop me an email admin@PerthMX.com. Now, the countdown is on to the opening round of the 2014 Monster Energy Australian Motocross Championships. The MX Nationals kicks off round number one, Broadford, this Sunday. My Sport Live caught up with some of the contenders, three of them in fact, two from the CDA Yamaha team, and they had a chat with Cade Mosick. Here's mysportlive.com.au.
Found another familiar face out here at Broadford, Cade Mosick. Cade, you've been doing the series a long while. Can you tell us a little bit about the track out there?
Yeah, the track here at Broadford is really hard. It's it's quite a lot of elevation and undulating hills. It's always off-camber corners and a lot of changing parts of the track, which, you know, make it quite difficult. Plus the surface, it gets really slick, and you know they tend to rip it quite deep here, and it gets really rutted. So it's a technical track, probably one of the most technical on the whole circuit. But I like it, and yeah, I haven't raced here for a few years now, so I'm looking forward to it.
Now, stepping away from Kawasaki this year, you've gone into a slightly more low key. How have you found the lower pressure and the new bike?
I started with Yamaha last year, just for the Supercross, and it was an awesome opportunity to get to work with Craig Dack and the whole team there at CDR. And this year it's a little bit of a step back, but you know, I still think it's really, really good. It's a local team for me. It's close to home, and the DPH Motorsports, the whole crew, Dale and everyone involved, is putting in a huge effort. And my mechanic Jared is working flat stick. So, you know, we're still putting in the same amount of effort as you would, you know, any other time on a factory race team. So it's it's good. It's a little bit easier for me having them all so close and being able to work in my backyard. It's just, you know, it makes it a little bit easier.
And how are you feeling in yourself coming into this? You've had a decent preparation series, quite a while injury free. How's your preparation going?
Yeah, it's going all right. I had surgery on my wrist in November, so I had a couple of months off over Christmas, but As I sort of have started, you know, mid-January, I would have liked a little bit more preparation time, but, you know, I've been doing everything I can, and it seems to be going really well. I'm really comfortable on the bike and can't wait to start racing.
Well, looking great out there on the bike, Kate. We look forward to seeing you around one of the series.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
You make sure you tune in to mysportlive.com.au for all the action. Caught up with CDR factory team rider Billy McKenzie. Billy, you've had a chance to come out here and put in some hard laps today. How are you finding it?
Today it's a little bit dusty. It's not the same as what it was last year, but track's in good condition. Like, you know, the layout's really nice, and I'm sure the actual soil's really good. So once they get a bit of water in it for the Nationals, I'm pretty excited about this track.
Now, you've had plenty of time to start testing and getting into the series for this motorcycle. How you found the 2014 model comparison to other bikes you've ridden in the past?
Straight out the box, it's the best bike for going racing. Absolutely, we went round in circles a little bit, just trying to chase, you know, more power or a different power, and we've ended up coming right back to the standard stock motor. So at the moment we're just changing like small parts, but really enjoying the bike. From last year, it's a massive improvement. They took on board all of whatever everyone was saying about the last year's model. So to come out with a brand new bike and just nail it straight off the back is it's really good for Yamaha, and I'm enjoying riding it.
Now, last year, not exactly the season I'm sure that you were hoping for. What have you changed coming into this season to make sure that you're fully prepared?
Not much, really. It's just I think having a full season behind me, injury-free, you know, racing every round and having a podium position in the championship, that's going to be the main element that's going to help my 2014 championship is, you know, using that fitness, adding on to that fitness. I've done all the same stuff that I normally do. You know, I've been doing it a while now, so, like, I know what works for me. And we done the New Zealand setup. That's also another thing that's helped me. Went over and raced with Josh Coppins on the Alstom Yamaha team, and getting four races over there with, you know, 20-minute motos against, you know, some of the best in New Zealand has definitely helped, you know, up my game and get me, you know, fresh for the start of the Aussie Nationals.
Now that you've been over in New Zealand for quite a while, riding with a lot of their fast boys, do you think there'll be any Kiwis coming back to take away the championship this season?
To be honest, the only guy I can really see is Cody, but he's always there anyway. He's always a championship contender, so... he's always fast on home soil. I've sort of found that out the last 2 years over there. So, but I beat him last year in the Aussie Nationals. So he's a good competitor, and he's someone that's nice to gauge my pace off. So yeah, I'm just using that as preparation for this championship. If I was to expect any New Zealand boys up there, it'd be Cody.
Well, we're hoping for another injury-free season for you, Billy, and we look forward to seeing you up there throughout the series.
Right, thanks, guys.
Out here at sunny Broadford today, we've caught up with CDR team owner Craig Dack. Craig, tell us how you're feeling coming into this series.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good build-up. We had Jay Marmont here at Broadford a couple of weeks ago for a two-day test, and that went really, really well. So Jay's back at home now, just test riding his bike with those parts that we tried and all that, just to make sure to get final confirmation. And today we've got Billy McKenzie here, but Billy's had a pretty solid build-up. He's been doing the New Zealand Championship, so... we haven't been able to see much of him because he's been over in New Zealand, but we've got him back here at Broadford today and just going through some different engine parts mainly and ignition parts. He's happy pretty much with the handling of the bike, but we've still got a little bit of work to do with the engine. But all in all, I think the two riders we've got this year are more than capable. You see their record or their history. And, you know, hopefully we all get on very good as a team, and I just hope that we can just get off this first round with a really solid start. We've had a... you know, a few odd starts here at Broadford over the years. So, I mean, Josh Coppins and Jay Marmot were sort of 7th and 8th 1 year, and we ended up winning the championship from there. But we'd like to really get off to a solid start here.
It has been a very big talking point. Jay Marmot back on the Yamaha. The last time he actually rode for you, he did wrap up the championship. How's that making you feel coming into it?
Oh, it's good to have him back. He's had a couple of tough years with Kawasaki, and you know, we obviously, there's a lot of history there with us and Jay. We had quite a successful 4 or 5 years. But, you know, but between him and Billy having two more older, more experienced guys, you know, we got the obvious contenders like Matt Moss and, you know, a few of the younger guys, Jake Moss, he's got to be quick. We know their speed. We know what they're all about. But we're really relying and banking on the experience, I guess, of CDR and the experience of the two riders that we've got to pull in a really smart series this year, because I think it's going to require a bit of smartness. You know, half the rounds are three motos, so half the rounds are going to have 75 points, and then half the rounds are going to have 50 points up for grabs. So, you know, it's got to be a bit of a mixed bag, and it's got to be a lot of consistency, but I firmly also believe that you've got to be right up the top. It's got to be a very tight year, I think.
So with the different formats, I'm sure you've had a chance to look over them. How do you find the formats for the 2014 series?
I'm happy. I'm as always, my answer is always the same. I'm more of a traditionalist. I like the two 30-minute motos. We went back to that full-time last year, and I thought it was good. The rationale behind the three motos this year, I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. It's still, it is what it is. And in some ways, you know, those motos do suit Jay Marmot, because Jay can sometimes be a little bit slow at the start of a day. So to add another moto in there is a good thing for Jay. Billy, I think he can just cope whatever you put in front of him.
You spoke about the experience that CDR does bring to the track. We know there's been a lot of changes to the 2014 Yamaha. How have you found the bike?
So far, so good. It's, you know, it's an evolution of the current model that we had since we received the reverse engine bike. It seems like it's a lot more forgiving than the previous model. It's a lot more, a lot easier to set up. It's not so, you know, the window is not so narrow compared to the old model. You know, it's getting a lot of good raves. We talk a lot to the other sister teams around the world, with Rinaldi in Europe and the US teams, and communication with Japan, and we're all finding this thing is a much better bike. But, you know, what usually happens, you can do all this testing and do everything you got, and you know, at the end of testing it seems good, but you really don't know until you go out and race after the first round, and we can probably make a more true assessment after that.
Well, good luck at the first round, Craig. We look forward to seeing you there, and good luck for the rest of the series.
Yeah, looking forward to it, mate. The MX Nationals is the series of the year, and we always get quite excited this time of year before it starts.
Definitely the series of the year, so make sure you tune in to mysportlive.com.au so you don't miss a minute of the action.
This week on MX Weekly, we're joined by the defending Pro Open champion in Western Australia, Lewis Kelvin. Leaping Lewis Kelvin, welcome to MX Weekly.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's my great pleasure. You must be absolutely sitting on top of the world. You took out the Pro Open Championship last year on board your trusty KTM, and you've taken out the Golden Wheel Classic as well. So plenty of racing coming up in Western Australia. Any chance of getting into the MX Nationals this year, my friend?
Yeah, definitely. I have a plan for, I did have an original plan to get to the first 5 rounds, but kind of put the first two on hold because we haven't had any rain over here, and all I've been practicing on is the stand track, so I'll be a bit unprepared for those. So we're just hanging out for some rain and hopefully make it to round 3, 4, and then the fifth one, which is here in Wanneroo.
Tell us, how good was it winning that Pro Open Championship last year?
Oh, it was really good. It was really satisfying on the 350 as well, and I'm happy now to be up on the 450, and we've been doing a lot of work with that, so hopefully we're even better again this year.
Is it a little disappointing that your main competitor, Dean Porter, wasn't really able to stick with you last year and give you some red-hot goes in the championship, and looks like he's out already for the Pro Open Championship this year?
Yeah, well, he was riding really good at the start of the year and then was injured at Manji, and that kind of put a bunch on things, and then he come back. I don't know if it was maybe a bit too early or whatever it was, and then now it's kind of happened again, and that sucks, but there's a lot of guys coming through, and as of so far, Cole Webster's been riding really good and basically giving me my best races so far, so I'm excited for this year and the
Does it hold any fears for you going in with that number one plate, not only on the front of your bike, but on your back? Is that anything that kind of worries you, or is it old hat, you've been there and done that before?
Yeah, no, I don't even think about it, really. I just want to go out there and win, no matter what number I run with, you know. I run my number 19, and I'll be running that again this year, so I'm pretty happy with that, and the number one's great, you know. It shows all the hard work we did last year and all the effort we put in, so it's a good thing.
Did you find it easier to get on board the 450 and ride it? Was it easier to ride, or was it more tough for you to ride the KTM 350 in the championship?
Last year we had a really good setup and the bike worked really well. The one place we maybe struggled a little was when it was muddy at Noble Falls, with the hill and the mud kind of maybe was an advantage with the extra power. But other than that, it was, you know, everywhere else it was fine. We had wins and the bike was awesome.
Tell us about your team for this year.
So I basically got all the same sponsors again. Minor sponsors have changed, but that's just due to Steve Kramer Products. They changed from one brand of clothing to another, and the helmets changed and that. So, yeah, Barry Sweet and KDM are all still on board. Me and the city helping out again. And, looks like it's going to be a good year.
Is it something that you sort of look ahead and plan your season, or is it sort of unfold for you as far as what your racing and your training goes?
No, I have plans and I'm training real hard and I want to, achieve all my goals that I've set out and I'm working hard to do that.
What do you hope to achieve in the MX Nationals? You've already said that you look like you're going to be missing a few rounds, basically just due to the fact you haven't been able to train, as you've said. Where do you hope to sit in the MX Nationals this year?
I want to go there and do the best I've ever done. You know, I need to break in there and mix it with the guys on the team. That's the only goal I have, you know. It's no point going there having any other kind of goal. I want to go there and do the best I can. So I'm working real hard now and everything's been going really good. All the training and all the riding. I just need a little bit of rain and get onto the hardtack tracks again and put that into it as well.
Tell us as well, with your Pro Open Championship, does that open any doors, not only here in Western Australia, but as far as an MX Nationals ride goes?
No, not at all. It basically does nothing whatsoever.
Yeah.
We're really happy with it, and they've obviously come on board again, and even more so. So that's helped a lot, and we're getting. Last year we didn't do any nationals, so this year us doing nationals is a step up, and it's something exciting. It's good.
And you're happy to remain with the KTM? I know for a couple of years you were with Honda, then you switched over for a little while to Yamaha and didn't have the best of luck, but I know that when I spoke to you last year, you were happy to be back on KTM. Is that another fair statement to make going into season 2014?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really happy with it, and us changing to the 450. We've just been working on it so much, and it's feeling really good at the moment, so I'm real happy with it, and the 450's great.
So just riding Pro Opens or trying to look at the Pro Open Pro Light double at all?
No, it would just be Pro Opens. Barry Sweet is my main sponsor and they were having me on the open bike and Dean was kind of had the two-stroke deal, the lights deal, and that was to carry on to Nationals as well. So
yeah.
I'm not too sure. I asked them for a 252 stroke. Just so I could do the races, but nothing's come up yet, so I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Because also the issue is they've extended the rounds, WAMX have extended the two-stroke cup rounds this year, of which Perth MX is a sponsor, so it'd be awesome to see you try and go for back-to-back in the KTM on board a two-stroke in the two-stroke cup this year.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, and I mentioned that to a few people, so hopefully it comes off again and I can either get my own bike or borrow a bike and do those two rounds.
Absolutely. How tough is it? Let's rewind a little bit. You picked up a couple of years back now the Privateers Award in the MX Nationals and you really gave it a red hot crack back when you did it. Is that another goal that you hope to better?
Yeah, definitely. Like, obviously that would be a good thing, you know, to be the first privateer, but really just need to be in there mixing it up with the guys on team, and that's the only way you're going to be able to, you know, take their spot is to beat them. So that's the goal. The Privateer Award is great, and it's a great award to have there for guys coming through and that. And it was great to win that, but the main goal would be to, you know, get in amongst there and try and get on a team.
That is your goal as a privateer. How tough is it as a privateer rider in Perth to get over and compete in the MX Nationals? How tough is it financially? Because there's a lot of time when you're away from work and home, as well as trying to get bikes, and logistically a nightmare as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's getting even more tough, you know. It's getting dark earlier, and working, you know, every day of the week, and then trying to ride and train and get all the bits and pieces in, and I keep up to date with the guys on the East Coast on the teams, and you know, they've got the weather for them over there is really good at the moment, and they've got the tracks are good, and it's hard to compete with the guys that are riding every day, and you know you're struggling to get out 1 or 2 days a week, so
yeah,
it's hard, but all the hard work and put in all the effort, and hopefully it turns out good for us.
Well, it did for you 1 year. As I said, you picked up that Privateers Award, the Andrew McFarlane Privateers Award. Any plans to head back over and compete in Britain in the Maxis Championship at all, Lewis?
Oh, if anything comes up like that again, like, that was a great opportunity, and I'd love to go back again. But like you said, just with the funds, you know, going from here and just trying to do a few national rounds is like the main part of our budget for the whole year, you know.
Yeah.
Let alone trying to get to UK and get a bike organised, things like that. But if it does come off again, that would be great, and yeah, I'd love to get back over there.
We'd love to see you back out there as well. Hey, my friend, I'm really looking forward to the first round of the WAMX, which kicks off at Coastal Park at Henderson. I think you've got some riders that are going to be breathing down your neck, and a lot of new kids on the block stepping up to Pro Opens. A lot of riders this year doing the Pro Open and Pro Light doubles, so they'll be absolutely champing at the bit. Look forward to seeing you out there, and best of luck with this season, and we hope to see that number one plate stay back out in front. Thanks for talking to us, Lewis.
Thanks very much, Nicky. Thank you.
Bigger, bolder, better. The new look 20th anniversary Auto Trader magazine is here. Find new and used cars, motorbikes, four-wheel drives, trucks, vans, caravans, camper trailers, quads and scooters, all for sale with full-colour photos. Find what you're looking for in the Auto Trader magazine today. Out every Friday from all good news agents, servos, delis, lunch bars and specialty stores.
1-3-2-6-3 Auto Trader. At Insure My Ride, we know what's important to bike riders. Great insurance cover at an affordable price. Like comprehensive motorbike insurance from less than a dollar a day. Don't get ripped off. Insure your ride online from less than a dollar a day at insuremyride.com.au.
Hi, this is Dane Porter. You're listening to MX Weekly.
Into another dump.
It's my pleasure to welcome, we haven't spoken to him for a while, he is the defending Pro Lights champion for 2014. He took it out in flying colours in 2013. Josh Adams, welcome to MX Weekly.
Thanks for having me, Nicky.
You got to be absolutely wrapped with your season last year, riding the Pro Open and Pro Lights doubles, but you managed to break through and you took that Pro Light championship.
Yeah, I rode the both masters last year, and for anyone, it's a tough ball, but my main goal was to at least win one class, and I got it done, so I couldn't be happier.
That is a tough call to ride that double. How much pressure did you put on yourself, firstly for success in the Pro Opens, and then to try and back it up and take out that Pro Light Championship?
The thing is to try and not put pressure on yourself. I mean, you really have to bring your A game and just be calm about the whole thing and just try and I just focus on trying to have a good day and a good day in both classes and go from there.
Now, watching you race, Jason Marshall is in your corner 100%. He throws out the pit board and he just continues to give you encouragement. How important is it to have someone like Jason Marshall, the calibre of his success, behind you as well?
Yeah, I mean, having Jason there, he's widened the motocross image for me, for sure. I mean, he showed me things that you'd never even think about just from having the experience he has, and and being where he's been, it's yeah, I definitely wouldn't be at the at the level I am now without him, for sure.
Now, as one door closes, another door opens. As we know, Dean Porter has been sidelined through injury, but that has opened the door up for yourself. Tell us about what's going to happen for you for 2014 now.
Unfortunately, Diz got hurt. I couldn't be more bummed out for him. I mean, I really wanted to see him over there, have a strong year. But, yeah, as it turns out, I'm in the position now to race his first national round under his tent. So, we'll just see where it goes from here. And it's pretty much, as it progresses, hopefully I can do my best and impress some people, and then we might be able to take it further.
Let's hope that does happen, because you had the opportunity a few years ago. You looked like you were going to move over and it didn't quite pan out for you. Is that something you'd like to tick off your bucket list, is to get yourself a full-time ride in the MX Nationals, even as a privateer rider?
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do. From here, especially, that's why you really do need to be based over there. I've set myself a goal. I'm going to go hard until I'm 30, and I just hope in between now and that time, I can get, even if it's a support ride, if it's a privateer ride, just some sort of support. It would be awesome to just to do a full series of the MX Nationals.
Now, you had support yourself riding for the Herb Watson outfit. Tell us how all that's come about, and will that continue despite this new role with riding for Porter's outfit?
Well, Larry Watson and Neil Dunn, they go way back, so they're good friends, and they discuss everything and come to terms with it. So it's an even playing ground. Like, everything's all cool to join everything all up. You know, it's no mess about contracts, all that kind of thing. So it's pretty easy going. The thing with Larry, we've got a great relationship. He's done so many things for me. I can only just try and repay him as many. Anything I can do to try and repay him, I will do. Like, favours, anything I can. He's done the world for me, and I hope that he has the time for me to keep it going for as long as he can.
Sounds like there's a lot of mutual respect and admiration between the two of you. How important is it to have that backing behind you when you go into your season?
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, if it wasn't for Larry, I'd be so far behind at the moment. I mean, especially with me, like, with full-time job, working, a train and all that kind of thing, you literally got no time to organise and plan things, and that's where he comes into play. He's the inside man. He organises the races, he organises the flyers, organises all the parts, the bike, everything that is that extra effort he does for me. So without him, I'd be in a real hard basket for sure.
This year, are you going to be able to ride the Pro Open Pro Light double, or is it just focusing on Pro Light Championship? What's sort of the goal for this year for you?
Yeah, well, this year I'm just riding the single class. I mean, if I do, I might ride maybe a 292 stroke. So it'll be the same as my bike, with a big bore kit on it. Mm-hmm. In the open class, but at the moment, I haven't got a 450, and I probably won't get one this year. Especially, I'm also thinking about Larry not being able to be at as many rounds, and of course he does all the bike maintenance, the bike, while I'm kind of freshening up in between races and all that. So that's where Larry comes in play as well. I mean, he's the man, pretty much. He's the man behind the scenes that has the whole thing running.
So just one class this year so far. Tell us, I spoke to you about this time last year, actually might have been the year previous. You were struggling with a wrist injury and you went into the pre-season, you had that operated on. How is that holding up going into season 2014 for you? All good?
Yeah, she's all good. She's stronger than ever. I mean, it's still probably as weak as a 12-year-old girl's at the moment, but it's everything else is strong, so the body just deals with it. It's still stiff, and I still have really little movement in it, but at the moment it doesn't faze me. I've had some crashes where I've bent it back, and
yeah.
It's all good.
Good stuff. Tell us about your training and sort of, as we all know, we all work full-time, and if you could make this motocross Cape your full-time job, you'd jump at it with both hands. But tell us what you're doing off the bike as far as your training and preparation goes.
Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, Sean Baxter from Epic Lifestyle has taken me on to do some personal training in the morning. Also, the big help of Andy Ewers out at Berry Suite. We've been using his gym, so three times a week in the morning we've been going out there, and Sean's been just doing his routine motocross training for us, as well as the auto boxing as well in the afternoon. So it's been like a morning afternoon thing for me at the moment. So I've been under the pump, and then on the off days I'll ride. So it's been pretty flat out Monday to Sunday for me, as in like the training side of things, but everything will start to slow down come race time. So
all good. Hey, tell us, what do you do to have that downtime when you've got 5 minutes to yourself? What do you do?
Oh, at the moment, just lay down, try and relax as much as I can. Nothing better is, like, at the moment, nothing feels better than to lay down in my bed and relax.
Hey, so there's no
other than that.
There's no crazy Saturday nights or Friday nights at Dorsia.
No, not these days, not for me.
Changed, Josh.
I've had my days there. I don't think I'm probably still banned at that place, so I probably won't get in anyway.
Yes, you may well be. Hey, my friend, thank you very much for talking to us. I know I've sort of caught you in between training sessions on the way to and from gym and boxing and work and all that kind of stuff. I wish you nothing but success. I hope that everything pans out for you in the MX Nationals. And you must be wrapped as well as I think all of WA is, that the MX Nationals returning back to AJS this year as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm super excited for the first round. I can't wait for that round at Wanneroo to come by. It's going to be awesome to have all the big guns over here and racing with them on our home soil. So couldn't be more excited.
And tell us about that first round at Broadford. That's only a couple of weeks away. You must be totally excited.
Yeah, I'm jumping out of my skin at the moment. I've never rode the track. I know it's gnarly, but I think that's what makes it even more exciting. You know, it's going to be a tough track, and I'm just excited just to get back on that playing field as well. With those like top caliber guys, you know, it's just there's nothing better than riding with the top guys in Australia. And even though I more than likely won't be at the pointy end of the field, as in like 1, 2, or 3, but still that whole top 10 where I'm trying to aim to be. I mean, they're all fast guys, so I'm super excited to get over there. I can't wait. So I'll leave next Friday to go over there. So can't wait till then.
Hey, mate, thank you very much for talking to us on MX Weekly. We can catch all the action on MySport Live, live streaming of the MX Nationals for season 2014. And, of course, the first round of the WAMX kicks off in a couple of weeks' time as well. Josh, thanks for talking to us, and good luck this season, my friend.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me, Nicky.
Hi, this is Jeff Leese, General Manager of KTM in Hoosaburg, Australia. You're listening to MX Weekly.
Welcome back to MX Weekly. Again, another edition of wall-to-wall KTMs. Well, this weekend it's the MX Nationals, and the talk of the town being the massive first round of the Monster Energy MX Nationals happening this weekend at Broadford. It's certainly understandable that if you couldn't get to the track on Sunday, you'd feel like you were seriously missing out on all the fun. Well, there isn't that much that compares to the rush you get from watching high-quality Australian racing, and rest assured we understand that naturally everyone wants to be a part of the action. Thanks to the team at MySport Live, no one will miss out this weekend, with the MX Nationals being live-streamed to the internet for all to watch completely free. In 2013, live-streaming of practice and qualifying was introduced to give fans a taste of the action at the track. And this year, the MX Nationals will bring you practice, qualifying, and the final moto of every class, making sure anyone can experience the thrill that comes from watching high-quality motocross racing. Friends, family, sponsors, and fans can now jump onto the MySport Live website and with a simple click of a button feel like they are at the track and the rest of the MX Nationals crowd. The broadcast will commence from 8 a.m, that is obviously Eastern Standard Time, each round, with practice and qualifying for each class. Then at 2:30 p.m. they'll get live racing coverage, obviously those times again, Eastern Standard Times, with the Eastern Daylight Saving Time, with the final moto from the MXD, MX2 and MX1 class.
Make sure you tune in at mysportlive.com.au from 8 a.m. Sunday, March the 30th. Join the team at Broadford for the opening round of the 2014 Monster Energy MX Nationals. And the MX Nationals are coming to you, and you can count on MySportLive to make sure you don't miss out. Broadcast schedule, as we said, 8:30 a.m. on Sunday with practice and qualifying for the MXD, MX2 and MX1. 2:30 will be Moto2 of the MXD, MX2 and MX1, so check your mysportlive.com.au website for further details. So if you can't make it to the MX Nationals this weekend, there is plenty of racing. The Northwest Championship kicks off this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. It's a two-day event at Paraburdoo. The Southern Capes Motorcycle Club will be having a club run this Sunday. As I mentioned, the MX Nationals opening round at Broadford in Victoria. The WA Junior Motocross Club up at Chidlow are having their second points day. The Bunbury Motorcycle Club are having their Back to the Future event. And the Wanneroo Junior Motocross Club at Pinjar will be having their club run. There's some of the events. If your event hasn't been listed, simple. Just drop me an email, admin@perthmx.com, and we can certainly get your event. Don't forget, the following weekend, it is the 6th of April, the opening round of the WIMX at Coastal Park in Henderson. For more information, head on to wimx.com.au. My name's Nikki Shahow. This has been MX Weekly. We will talk to you next week right here on perthmx.com. And don't forget, drop us an email, jump on our perthmx.com Facebook page, and check out the website for the very latest news. If you're riding this weekend, please ride safe, stay safe, and stay upright. We'll talk to you next week right here on MX Weekly. Bye for now.